بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, two nights ago in Surah Hud, we had spoken about the miraculous nature of the Quran Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كِتَابٌ أُحْكِمَتْ آيَاتُهُ, a book whose verses, whose ayat have been perfected, ثُمَّ فُصِّلَتْ, and then they have been explicitly explained in detail, either in the Quran itself or through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مِنْ لَدُنْ حَكِيمٍ خَبِيرٍ, and this Quran has come from that being who is all wise, who is all informed. Here in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about another exclusive feature of the Quran, such a feature which leave alone any other book, but no other divine book enjoys, and that is the exclusive and special protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah mentions, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, that indeed we have sent down this reminder, this message, وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and we have taken it upon ourselves, we have made it our duty, our responsibility to preserve and to protect the Qur'an Kareem. And that is why we find, unlike any other book, any other scripture also, the Qur'an has been protected from distortion, from change, from alteration. And here, Mufassirin have explained, when it comes to the protection and preservation of the Qur'an Kareem, generally we speak about one aspect, which is the preservation of the words of Qur'an. This is well known, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to protect and to secure the words of the Qur'an, that they will not be changed, they will not be forgotten, they will not be lost. And for this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the hearts of the young boys and girls of the ummah. We find sometimes a youngster barely able to make a cup of tea himself, barely able to get dressed himself, yet day and night he is memorizing pages and pages of the Quran. And this, that too, a language that he doesn't speak, that he doesn't understand, and not just modern or contemporary Arabic, but classical Arabic. As one person mentioned very beautifully, that someone who has memorized the Quran, we say he is a hafiz of Quran, or he has memorized the Quran, but understand, what does this mean? It means 700 or 800 pages of classical Arabic that he has committed to memory. This is nothing short of a miracle. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will preserve and protect the words of the Quran. But together with this, Mufassirin explained that there are two other aspects of the preservation of Quran. One is, as we had mentioned, the words. And secondly, when it comes to the different dialects and modes of recitation, which were revealed by Jibreel alayhi salam unto Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this Allah uses the Qurra, those who study the laws of Qiraat, of Tajweed. So they will preserve the methods of recitation, the different modes, the different dialects, the rules and regulations of Tajweed. And thirdly, Allah has taken it upon Himself to protect and preserve the meanings of the Quran. That every word, every sentence, every surah, every chapter, what is the deeper meaning behind it? For this Allah uses the ulama. The ulama, the mufassirin, the commentators of Quran. So this entire system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the preservation of the Quran. And this is indeed a very great favor and ni'mat upon us. The nations of the past, their scriptures, they were unsure. As time passed, the Nabi left this world, then they could not rely on that scripture, because there were alterations, there were changes, as it suited them. As time passed, the rabbis, the scholars made additions, subtractions to those books. But when it comes to the Quran Kareem, even if a person attempts this, then we can call a youngster from the ummah, someone who is 7, 8, 9 years old, and he will be able to rectify and correct those mistakes. So this is the ni'mat, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. So this is mentioned in the opening verses of the 14th juz. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His forgiving nature, where He speaks about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. This incident we have mentioned many times before, and we have heard it, that Allah created Nabi Adam alayhi salam, and then He tells the angels to make sajda before him. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ, all the angels bow down before Adam alayhi salam except Iblis. And then a conversation takes place between him and Allah. He explains that it is not befitting of a being like me, who is created from fire, to bow down before something that you have created from sand, from clay. Nevertheless, Allah then expels Shaitan from the gardens of Jannah. And now he takes a promise, and he says, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that, O Allah, because of you turning me away, I take it upon myself now to mislead and misguide each and every one of your slaves. So this is a promise that Shaitan makes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, But then he says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Even Shaitan realized and understood that the special chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not be able to mislead them. So he himself makes this exclusion that I will mislead every one of them except for your chosen, for your selected slaves. And here, when we read these verses, then a person like myself will think that how is it possible for me to be from the selected, from the chosen slaves of Allah? We, each person knows his own weakness, his own reality. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that inform my slaves, inform my servants that they should not lose hope. نَبِّعْ عِبَادِي أَنِّي أَنَا الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, inform my slaves, inform my servants that I am al-ghafoor al-raheem. I am an embodiment of forgiveness, of mercy. And then, by the way, Allah mentions, وَأَنَّ عَذَابِي هُوَ الْعَذَابُ الْأَلِيمُ. And my punishment is a painful punishment. In here, try and appreciate the beauty of the Quran, where Allah says that, inform my slaves that I am al-ghafoor. I am an embodiment of forgiveness. I am an embodiment of mercy. And then Allah does not say, I am one who punishes, or I am one who gives severe punishment. But He says, my punishment is painful. In other words, it is not attributed directly to me. But the characteristic, the quality that I should be known by, that I should be understood by, is that of Ghafoor Rahim. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, the incident of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned, in which a person can understand not to lose hope in the mercy of Allah. So here Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam has reached an advanced age. Mufassirin differ, but they all agree that he was above 100 years of age. Some say 120 years old. And a group of angels come to him in the form of human beings. The entire incident is mentioned. They knock on his door. He becomes afraid. He is unsure who it is. Eventually they tell him, إِنَّا نُبَشِّرُكَ بِغُلَامٍ عَلِيمٍ. That, O Ibrahim, we have come to give you glad tidings of a son who will be born. Your wife will conceive and you will now father a son. So he says, أَبَشَّرْتُمُونِي عَلَىٰ أَمَّسَّنِيَ الْكِبَرِ فَبِمَ تُبَشِّرُونَ. Then how are you giving me glad tidings of this, where I have reached an age where it is impossible to have a child medically, or as far as the laws of dunya are concerned, it is almost impossible for a person at this age to father a child. Not only this, but they mentioned that his wife was also barren. She was also at an advanced age. So how is it possible that you're giving me this glad tiding? Then they say to him, that بَشَّرْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ فَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. That we have given you this glad tiding, which is true. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not lose hope. Now he realizes that these are not ordinary people, but they have come from Allah. This is a message, a glad tiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَمَن يَقْنَتُ مِن رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. That who can lose hope in the mercy of his Rabb, except someone who is far astray, someone who is misguided, he is not on the straight path, he doesn't understand reality. Then he will lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah mentions this immediately after Shaitan's promise, to tell us that do not lose hope in my mercy. Although Shaitan is your sworn enemy, and he has years and years of experience, his entire life's mission is to mislead and misguide insan. So he knows every trick in the book. Yet Allah is saying, I am on your side. I am Ghafoor, I am Rahim. Don't lose hope in my mercy. Just turn to me and I will protect you. I will save you from the tricks and the plots of Shaitan. So this is the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam. One more incident and we'll terminate. Thereafter Allah mentions the incident of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. And this is a story, an incident we have heard many times before. The angels come to Nabi Lut alayhi salam. His people were involved in the sin of homosexuality, of sodomy. And this was something that was never done on such a large scale before. Quran speaks about it, that you are the first people to introduce such a terrible act. So here the angels come to him in the form of human beings once again. And when they reach the home of Nabi Lut alayhi salam, the people of the city realize that they are young men who have now come as guests. So وَجَاءَ أَهْلُ الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. His people come rushing to his home in a state of joy, of happiness, that now we have these young men who have come to our town, we will be able to fulfill our desires in this way. So he says, he appeals to them, Lut alayhi salam says to them, that إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ ضَيْفِي فَلَا تَفْطَحُونَ. First, he does not start with saying that this is the command of Allah, but he tries to reason with them logically, that these are my guests, they have come from out of town, and it is not correct for us to mistreat or ill-treat a guest. So, فَلَا تَفْطَحُونَ. Don't disgrace me as a host. Don't interfere with these guests of mine. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Then he says, be conscious of Allah, Allah's command, or rather this is Allah's prohibition. You're not allowed to do something like this. وَلَا تُخْزُونَ. Do not disgrace me. So they say to him, أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Lut, did we not command you before? Did we not tell you to leave us alone? Don't interfere in our actions.
You continue with your ibadah, you worship Allah, you do what you want to do, but don't interfere with us. So again, he doesn't give up. Once again, he tries to reason with them. He says, "Ha'ula ibanati, in kuntum fa'ilin," that these are my daughters. If you want, I can perform, I can get your nikahs, perform to them, and you can fulfill your desires in the way that Allah has ordained for you. Ulama explained that here, every Nabi is seen as a father to his ummah. So he is telling them that there are young girls who are of marriageable age in my ummah, in my town, and I can perform your nikah to them. And some mufassirin say that he offered his very own daughters, that get married to them and fulfill your desires in this way. In kuntum fa'ilin, if you need to fulfill your desires, this is the outlet Allah has created for you. But these people, of course, were too stubborn. They didn't want to listen. So Allah describes their condition. He says, "La'amruk." Allah takes a qasam by the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. "La'amruk." I take a qasam in your life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahoon." Allah likens these people to people who are in an intoxicated state, that they are just wandering around blindly. They don't understand which direction they are going in. Like an intoxicated person, you see, he takes one step forward, two steps back. He doesn't know in which direction he's going. So Allah says, this is the condition of these people who followed their desires. What is the end result? فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ Allah says, a screech seizes them at around dawn, the time of dawn. فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا And then we capsized that entire city. We turned it onto its roofs. وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ And we rained down upon them stones of clay. This was the end result of these people, the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. This is an issue, respected brothers and elders. In today's time we find where people have to be politically correct and we cannot hurt the feelings of certain groups. But understand that as believers, first of all, we have to be Islamically correct. Before we are politically correct, we have to be Islamically correct. We have to understand what is our aqidah, what is our belief with regard to these actions. Understand that in light of Quran and Sunnah, the act of homosexuality is completely, completely forbidden. There is absolutely no room for discussion, no leeway for an action like this. This is something that we have got to believe in. We have got to bring it within our hearts, that there is no room for discussion in Shariat for these type of actions. No matter what the entire world may be doing, no matter what their morals and values may be, but the deen, the Shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change. So this is as far as our stance, our outlook is. However, having said that, if we find in our communities, and this is becoming a reality, if we find there is some young boy, some young girl who is mubtala, who has been tested with this, then we do not adopt a harsh attitude towards them. Like any other guna, we find a boy and girl involved in some illicit relationship, then while we will declare it to be categorically impermissible, haram, but we will assist them with compassion, with love, with kindness. So in the same way, this should be our outlook, that we know somebody who is mubtala, someone who is tested by this, then with love, with compassion, we try and explain to them, we clarify to them, what is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in this way, we try and take them out of that guna and sin. But at the end of the day, we have to understand that this is completely and totally impermissible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save us, give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.